In the Rescue Mission's summer newsletter, there's a story told of a woman that started over on a new foundation. And I'd like you to listen a bit to her testimony this morning. She said, "I never had a childhood. My stepfather sexually assaulted me in grade school, and then my mother sent me to live with my real father, and he assaulted me too. He also expected me to dress him, fix his meals, and clean the house." She said, "I was so traumatized, I didn't do well in school. In fact, I dropped out and I got married when I was age 15. My husband was 48. At least I knew he loved me until he died 10 years later. After that, I did the best I could. I worked and paid my bills. I got married 3 more times, had 3 boys, but the marriages didn't last. And when one of my sons died, I finally had a breakdown and got on medication. And my son's father agreed to raise my other 2 boys, so I slowly put my life back together. Had a car, had a job, had my own apartment. But one day, my son's father asked me for help. He and the boys were about to be evicted, and I agreed to let them stay a week. But they didn't leave. So I lost my apartment because they weren't on my lease. And after that, I lost my car, and I lost my job. And I had to start over from square one again. So I came to the Rescue Mission of Mahoning Valley, and at first I thought all I needed was some time to get my life together. But I got so much more. The people here gave me love and support, and I realized what I've been missing my whole life. They showed me that God is with me and that He'll answer my prayers. And He did answer, because I just started a new job and I still have a long way to go, but now I know I don't have to do it alone. Now this morning we turn to Joshua chapter 2, where we read about another woman who began moving in a new direction. And as we look at this fascinating account of Rahab, may it remind us of the potential for anyone to move forward in a positive way. And may it remind us that people can move ahead with the Lord regardless of their past, regardless of how mixed up and how messed up their past may have been. Now in verse 1, we discover what Rahab's past entailed. This is Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. It says, "Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out 2 men from a Kai grove to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, especially Jericho.' So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there." Now, those of you that are married couples may have stayed at a place of lodging that offered a number of add-on services. Perhaps when you make your reservation, you could, for a small fee, you could have some fresh flowers in the room, or some chocolates, Koblenz chocolates, or you could have a beverage and cheese platter, or perhaps a voucher to use at the restaurant next door, or even the use of a massage therapist. Now, we don't know what all may have been advertised or offered when staying at Rahab's. But the ESV translation of the Bible does note that the 2 spies came to the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and lodged there. Now, sometimes people have the crazy notion that a person's past, for whatever reason, disqualifies them from having any involvement in the kingdom of God. Sometimes people struggle within and thinking that because of their past or because of what they were, that somehow that God would never love them, He would never accept them, He would never receive them or welcome them. As a writer in the Beacon Bible Commentary noted, that probably the Lord was not as interested in what Rahab was as in what she was becoming. That would be true, by the way, for this lady that ended up at the rescue mission as well. Not so much a matter of what she had experienced and dealt with in the past as what it is that she was becoming, where the direction that she was moving. And we read about this in the New Testament as well, to illustrate that people can move beyond their past to be on board with the Lord. Let's have a peek at two scriptures. The first one being Matthew 21, Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 to 32. Jesus said, "What do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he regretted it and went. And then he came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said to him, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness. You did not believe him, but tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him." So there we have it. There were harlots that became followers of Jesus. They became women of faith. They became believers. They moved beyond their past. They charted a new course. The second scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. The Apostle Paul here is writing to the church at Corinth, and he said, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So, there we are in this church, the church at Corinth. There were people from all sorts of backgrounds. But they didn't get stuck in their sinful past. They became believers. They turned to Jesus. They began moving in a new direction. They were cleansed within. They were justified by their faith in the Lord. They began newness, living in newness of life. Now, we've noted Rahab's past, and we noted what was taking place. We've noted her past, and we noted, though, that it's possible to make a new beginning, to start moving in a different direction. Let's continue with the story now, noticing what was taking place then with Rahab in the present at this time when these two men came and wanted lodging there. They were actually there, yes, to spy out the land, but what was going on here? Pick up with verse 2 and on through verse 16. "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, 'Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country.' So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, 'Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country.' Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, 'Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from.' And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof, had hidden them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road of the to the Jordan, to the fords, and as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to the roof, and she said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and the terror of you has fallen on us and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you, for the Lord your God, for he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all that I have, and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. And then she let them down by a rope through the window. For her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall, and she said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned, and afterward you may go your way. Now, some of you may be thinking, so Brother Bob, what's up with this suggestion that Rahab is moving in a new direction in life, that she is somehow different than she used to be? And perhaps you're thinking right now, wasn't Rahab mighty deceitful with what she did? She lied to those that came looking for the spies, did she not? She covered up the truth. Well, that was indeed the case. Let me just say this before someone is thinking that, well, because of what Rahab did, that gives you and I license then to engage in what is sometimes referred to as situational ethics. I'd like to just point out a couple things here. First of all, as someone has so wisely put it, Rahab was just in the process of changing her whole way of life. And one must recognize that the darkened conscience is but gradually enlightened. We need to remember that we're at different stages in our pilgrimage. And even for those of us that have come to faith in Christ, sometimes there is growth that needs to take place. In fact, the Bible tells us that we are to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the process of sanctification, becoming more like the Lord, becoming more holy, and so on. And along with that, we need to consider New Testament scripture that does call us to truthfulness and honesty. The Bible says, do not lie with one another, since you have put on the old man with his deeds, or have put off the old man with his deeds. That's in Colossians 3:9. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 4:25, therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor. 1 Timothy 1:9 and 10, it talks about the law. The purpose of the law was for the ungodly, and then among the ungodly, it points out are liars and perjurers. According to Revelation 21:8, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, yes, shall have their part in the lake of fire, a lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. Now, coming back to Rahab then, what is the evidence then that Rahab is indeed moving in a new direction? What do we glean from our text that speaks to this? Well, it has to do with Rahab's declaration of faith. In verse 9, she said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. She didn't just say, I know that, you know, you're going to be winning out in this situation because of your might and strength and all this. She said, I know that the Lord has given you this land. In verse 10, she said to the spies, we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And at the end of verse 11, Rahab made this statement, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Did you get that? The Lord our God, your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Those are not words coming from a skeptic or a seeker. Those are words that are coming from a believer. And it seems to me that Rahab's desire to not only lodge the spies, but to actually protect them and to help them had to do with what was going on in her heart and mind. The harlot Rahab had come to realize that the God of Moses and the God of Joshua was the one and only true and living God. She had come to the place where she was able to acknowledge and declare faith in this God. Now, let's move on then to think about Rahab's future, picking up with verses 17 to 21. We continue the story. So the men said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord, ta-da, in your window, through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home. So it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you made us swear. And then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet cord in the window. There it is. The scarlet cord was a sign of a covenant that had been made. It was a marker that would ensure the safety of her house while destruction would be taking place around her. It was a symbol of faith in the Lord. In fact, one Bible commentator even went so far as to maintain that for Rahab, the scarlet robe was sacramental. It was an outward sign of an inward grace which God was bringing to pass in her life. It was a sign that she believed God to be God. She wasn't just going to add one more God to her pantheon of Canaanite gods. Rahab was willing to put aside all these gods for the true God whom she would grow to know much more intimately in the future. That was a quote from John Huffman, Jr. Now, I'm sure that Rahab had no idea what all would change, given the choices that she had made and given the confession of faith that she had just proclaimed. Boy, neither did I have any clue what all was going to be ahead when I confessed Christ as my Savior. When I knelt down and prayed for forgiveness of my sin and trusted Jesus as my Savior and made a public declaration of faith then through water baptism. Now, Rahab, I would be remiss this morning in talking about Rahab's future if I would not point out several things from the New Testament. Rahab ended up with a lasting legacy. It's incredible. She's mentioned three times in the New Testament. Number one, Rahab is listed in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Now, I know it's tempting for all of us. We turn to Matthew chapter 1 and we have this listing, you know, who begat what, whatever. And boring, right? Well, it depends. Not so when we're talking right now about Rahab, because Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, it starts out by saying something, you know, it's pretty significant. This is the book, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Verse 17 on down, it says, "So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. From the captivity in Babylon to Christ are 14 generations." Then, tucked in the middle of that genealogical record, verse 5, what does it say? Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab, Boaz begot Obed. Well, there you have it. Rahab is listed in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Now, I find that fascinating, and I find it encouraging that Rahab is a part of this record. It's encouraging to me that God chose and chooses people who are sinful, flawed, imperfect individuals, redeeming them and using them in significant ways. I can't think of anything that would be more encouraging and inspiring and also challenging to us. So Rahab was listed in the genealogical record of Christ. Number two, Rahab was cited for her faith. Sometimes we refer to Hebrews chapter 11 as a hall of faith passage or chapter in the Bible, because it lists individuals who are cited for their faith along the way. And there are numerous people listed there, but Rahab is mentioned in verse 31. "By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace." That's pretty nifty, pretty significant, isn't it? Number three, Rahab was cited for her works. Notice what's said in James chapter 2, verses 24 and 5. "You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way?" So, whether it's people that end up at the rescue mission, like the woman that we referred to at the beginning here, or whether it's people that are running a bed and breakfast, if you will, or an inn or whatever, anyone has the potential of moving on with the Lord. And it's simply a matter of faith in Jesus Christ and of moving out in loving obedience to Him. Praise God. Well, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing a song called Higher Ground. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for preserving this account of Rahab. And we're blessed, Lord, as we think about the legacy that is there and the life lessons for us today. Lord, we pray that all of us here this morning might be able to hang a scarlet cord out of our bedroom or wherever it is, certainly out of our heart, that we might declare that we are in a covenant relationship with You, and that we are going to be people that acknowledge You, O Lord, and live for You. So please continue to be at work, and may Your kingdom come, may Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May You continue to build Your church And may you be praised. In Christ's name, amen.